Amen. Amen. Man, praise God. Praise the Holy One of Heaven. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I love Ridgecrest. I love being here with you. I've been able to meet several pastors. I got some messages. I don't know whether or not they're going to be in this service or the next service, but there's going to be several pastors that have taken time away and taken some vacation time, and they're actually going to be worshiping with us here at Ridgecrest. So whatever service they're in, it better be a lot more lively. Amen? So I appreciate, if you are here and you're a pastor in this area and you took some time to be with us, God bless you. Thank you. I pray that you have been blessed, and we want to love you and your family, and anything we have here that will be an assistance to you, you help yourself, except for our members. Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, we are right in the middle of our series called Foundations, where we have been walking through the Great Commission, and I really didn't even realize how the Great Commission, how every one of these little slabs, if you want to say, of this foundation is found in the Great Commission until I really began to study it. We talked about evangelism, and evangelism when he says, go and make disciples. And so the making of the disciples is our sharing our faith. It's leading someone to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so we talked about evangelism, and then we talked about discipleship. He says, make the disciples, and then he says, baptize them. And we talked about baptism, and we've seen much fruit from that message, and still there are more. There are more out there. I want you to know that after I spent some time with some of the group just a moment ago, they told me that they had friends that actually came through and shook their hands and said, you know what, I need to do the same thing. Mr. Brent told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I told Pastor Hosey this. I said, I would have done this many years ago, watch this, had it not been for my pride. What would people think if I walked down the aisle and followed the Lord in believers' baptism? Well, I'm going to tell you what people are going to think. They're going to be very, very excited for you. And those who are not very excited for you are under deep conviction, and maybe your testimony, your example, will lead them, hopefully, to be more obedient themselves. So we talked about baptism. Then last week, we talked about discipling, teaching all these things that I've commanded you. And we talked about what is discipleship and how we're going to do it here at Ridgecrest. And man, I'm excited about what God is laying on the staff's heart, the elders. I'm going to be meeting with Mr. Ken coming up soon, who will be our new chairman of our elders. And we're going to be talking about some of the things that we can get together and do and really implement in this church. Because listen to me, we will not be judged by how many people join this church, but how many lives are transformed in this church. And that's what we want. I don't want to have to do what Pastor Bill Hybels did. Build a great big church and then come back and say, all I've done is given birth to a bunch of spiritually immature babies. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to see people born again, but son, I want to see them graduate out of the nursery, go into kindergarten, go on up to junior high, go into high school, and praise God, get into the senior adult years of their spiritual life. Amen? So, we talked about discipleship. Today, I'm very, very excited. And let me say this. I told the Wednesday night crowd, I have not preached one sermon that I've preached before so far at this church. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Nothing wrong with doing that. Let me say that. But I want to stay fresh, and I want to keep a fresh word for you, because you are the congregation that God has given to me to hopefully be to be your under-shepherd and to present you faultless before the throne, or to help you be mature when you pass from this life to the next. And I'm enjoying digging in His Word and getting a fresh word for you. I'm preaching on a subject I've never preached on. Fellowship. I've never preached on fellowship. Now, I've talked, but I've never given an entire message to fellowship. And so that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to be in Matthew 28 and then 1 John 1. So Matthew 28, verse 18. Please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. Great, great, great commission. He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority or all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Which, by the way, we're going to get to that later on. But that all authority, all decision-making power. In other words, Jesus doesn't have to ask anybody. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of the nations, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now here we go, here we go, here's fellowship. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Father in heaven, bless your word. Please don't let these people hear me. Let them hear you. We love you, Jesus. We long for your return. If it's before this message is over, that would suit us just fine. But God, if it is before and there's someone in here who has never been saved, Spirit of God, please, please do what you were sent to do. Convict them of sin, judgment, and righteousness and judgment to come, and lead them to the cross where they may be born again into the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that you've already done, but I'm not going to ask you to stand up again, okay? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to turn to the person either to your right or to your left, stick out your right hand, and shake their hand, okay? Would you do that right now, just all over the congregation? All right, there you go. All right, now let me tell you why you did that, and you may not have ever realized why you did that. Back in the, after the first, second, third century, back in those days, when a visiting country, maybe coming into another country or a different army would be approaching another army, they would be coming up and they would carry their weapons in their right hands. And so when they would come up, if Rich was in another army and I was in an army, when I would see Rich, if I came to walking towards him and I had my weapon in my right hand and I kept it in my right hand, then that meant that he and I are still going to be enemies and there will be no type of fellowship between he and I. But if I took my sword, my weapon, and placed it in my left hand and stuck out my right hand of fellowship and we embraced and shook hands, it meant that I would like to get to know him. I would like our armies, our countries to unite in something that we share in common, and therefore we might be friends. We might have fellowship. And see, dear friends, we live in a day and age today. Now, come on, you've got to agree with me here. We live in a day and age today where we are a depersonalized world, an automated world. I mean, you don't have to see, you can deposit your money without going to the bank. You can do anything. You call things, press 1 to talk to this person, press 2 to talk to that person, press 3. You ever wish one, press 4 if you want to just yell, you know, and just give me somebody. I was talking to somebody the other day and it kept saying, press this, press that. And I was like, no. And so I remembered. And it said, if you'll just press 0 like 5 times, it'll get to one. So I went, do, 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 do. And it said, we do not recognize that. Goodbye. And I was like, ah! You know? I'm thinking, come on, you know? I'm like, and so I just wanted to talk to a person. I want to talk to a person one-on-one. And listen, we're doing this right now in 10:31. You're watching me by camera. But I hope you feel the love. I love you very much. But here's the point that I'm making. If there's anywhere, if there's any place where people ought to be able to have fellowship and relationship and actually get to know one another. Folks, is there any place better than the church? There's no place better than the church of the living God. And so I got to thinking, fellowship, what does that mean? Well, we are here today to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to worship God. We know that. We are to worship God. Follow me here. What is the other side of worship? Fellowship. You see, folks, the only reason you and I are here today, the only reason, turn now over to 1 John chapter 1. The only reason that we're here today is because of what John said in verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. Listen to what he said. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, the only reason that we can have true koinonia, true fellowship to share in common, it's all because of Jesus. We were just singing that song. It's all because of Jesus, I'm alive. It's all because of Jesus that you and I can have fellowship one with another. So what I want to do is walk through 1 John 1, 1 through 4. Okay, I just want to walk you through these verses. And maybe you've never looked at this way before because I haven't. And when I was studying this passage, it dawned on me. So I want to share with you three things real quick. Okay, number one, the basis of our fellowship. There's got to be a base. There's got to be a foundation of our fellowship. What is it? The basis of our fellowship. John tells us that Jesus is not only the reason we can have fellowship, He is the only way you can truly have fellowship. He's the only way. He's not only the reason, He is the only way. And here's why. Look in verse 1. Why is Jesus? Because hear me, guys. Can a saved man marry an unsaved woman and have a marriage? Yes. Can they have a relationship? Yes. Can they live and celebrate 50 years of marriage? Yes. But can they truly have fellowship? No. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Listen, Jesus is the common denominator of everything we do. He's the reason that we have fellowship. And he clearly says here in verse 1a, Jesus is real in eternity. Why is He the basis of our fellowship? Because He's real in eternity. Look what it says. That which was from the beginning. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning. Now, John wrote this. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but then he wrote the Gospel of John. Listen to what he said in John 1:1, in the Gospel of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now put those things together. John 1:1, he said Jesus was in the beginning. But here he says Jesus was from the beginning. So hang with me here. Jesus was present before creation. Jesus was present during the creation. And Jesus is present after the creation. In other words, Jesus is eternal. There was never a time where Jesus was not. And there will never be a time where Jesus will not be. You see, there was a time when I was not, and there will be a time when but there will never be a time when I will not be. You see, hear me, dear friends, you're going to spend eternity in one or two places. You're going to live forever in one or two places, heaven or hell. What decides that? What you do with Jesus. You see, I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And so, He is in the beginning, He's from the beginning, He's before the beginning, He's after the beginning. Jesus has always been. He's eternal. Number two, Jesus is real in experience. Listen to what John said again. He said, that which was from the beginning, He's real in eternity, but He's real in experience. Notice, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. Now, let me tell you what John was doing here. This is so good. The basis of our fellowship. Why do we have fellowship? John was saying Jesus is not some fairy tale. John, he was saying he was flesh and blood. He was skin and bones. He was muscle and fiber. He was just like you and just like me. You see, Jesus has been attacked in one or two ways throughout history. Some have attacked His deity. They said, well, if He is man, there's no way He could have been God. Others attacked His humanity. They say, well, if He was God, there's no way He could have been man. It's funny to me how John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the Gospel of John to prove that Jesus was God. But then he turned around and he wrote the first part of the Epistle of John to prove that Jesus was man. Let me tell you something, dear friends. Jesus never, never, ever, ever ceased being God. Please don't miss that. You say, I don't understand it. Well, my daddy used to say this. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk, but I like milk with my cookies. If you try to figure it out, you'll lose your mind, but if you deny it, you'll lose your soul. I'm telling you, dear friends, I don't understand electricity, but I praise God when I flip a switch, lights come on. And I want you to know something. I praise God that He will reveal Himself to me, and the more I get into His Word, He will reveal the Bible says the secret things of God. He'll reveal them to you. It's when it becomes manna to you. But you got to study it and read it and eat it. He says, which we have heard. Now, don't just skip over that heard. Listen to this. Don't skip over that word heard. It's a verb that is literally in the present tense, which simply means something that took place in the past that continues taking place in the present. What John literally said was this. This is good. Jesus is that which we have heard and still hear. Now, let me just tell you something. 10:31, listen to this. This is cool. Did you know that today you can still hear Jesus speaking? He says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. He says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will open the door and come in to him. Now, you don't necessarily hear him with your ears. You hear him with your heart or with your spirit. So now turn to Romans chapter 8. I couldn't get away from this today. I got to thinking about how can I really make simple and make plain this Jesus speaking? What does he mean? What does he mean that Jesus is speaking? All right, listen to Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, okay? How does he speak? Hey, dear friends, how is he speaking to me today? How do I know that God is speaking to me? Listen to verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So number one, does the spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. On Easter Sunday, I don't know if we'll have the tomb again, but that's one of the services I watched before I came to be your pastor. They sent me that service and I thought, my word, that would be awesome to preach with an empty tomb like that. But the same spirit that raised him from the dead. Hear me, dear friends, you say, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you if you're saved. With God, all things are possible. And so he says, all right, so does he dwell in you? Does that spirit dwell in you? Now listen, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Led, in other words, it means that you're listening to his spirit. He is speaking to your heart. He is speaking to your spirit, and you're obedient to his call. Now, this gets even better. Listen, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit himself bears witness. That word bears witness means to share in common. He bears witness. He shares in common with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So let me break it down. When believers are compelled by love of God, they will feel deep hatred for sin, reject the world, long for Christ's return, love other believers, experience answered prayer, discern between truth and error, long for and move toward Christ's likeness. Now, when he's speaking to you, that means he's speaking and his spirit is identifying with your spirit and he produces. How does he speak to me, Pastor? He produces. The spirit produces the fruit of the spirit. So he speaks to me. He begins to produce love that I didn't have before I got saved for other people. Gentleness, patience, joy, peace. He begins to do all of those things through me. He produces it. I don't produce it. I just listen to his voice, listen to his spirit, and I'm obedient. And when that happens, it says, he'll let you know you're a child of God. He'll let you know that you're a child of God. See, many of you, when this service is over, he's going to be speaking to you, some of you to be saved, some of you to join this church, some of you to come down and be baptized as a believer and to get it on the right side of your salvation that you've been waiting for. But rest assured, he is speaking. My first workshop of my doctoral work,
we were sitting in there, and the librarian came in, and he was letting us know how to, just some areas of the library where we can go and check books out and all that kind of stuff for our dissertation. But he was talking about common mistakes that pastors use in the Bible, and he was talking about using the correct grammar and all that kind of stuff, and I wasn't paying attention, but anyway, I'm joking. And anyway, he said this, he said, be careful when you say the Bible says. He said, technically, dear friends, that is wrong. The Bible doesn't say anything, you say. And when he said that, there's a guy named Jeffrey. Jeffrey was about 6'7", 400 pounds. I mean, he was incredible. He is Dr. Chuck Kelly's personal bodyguard. He said, well, I tell you what, it spoke to me this morning, amen. I said, amen, brother, amen. Let me tell you something. This word does say. Do you hear me? Hey, only something that is alive can speak. And bless God, this book is alive. God wrote this book and it is alive. And I want you to know something. It will speak to you. And he's going to be speaking to some of you. He goes on to say, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. In other words, he said, Jesus was not some hallucination. He said, our hands have handled. He said, he's real. I touched him. I felt him. So Jesus is real in eternity, he's real in experience, and he's real in expression. In verse 2, notice again what it says back in 1 John 1, 2. The life was manifested. Notice what it says, see, it was manifested. We've seen and we bear witness and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That word manifested literally means to reveal something previously unknown. Don't miss this, guys. Everybody look right up here. Don't miss this in the balcony. To reveal something that was previously unknown. You see, I don't have to reveal anything to God about me. He knows me inside out. He formed me. He created me. I don't have to reveal anything to him. How do I know God cares about me? How do I know that God will forgive me of my sins? How do I know that if I repent of those sins and place my faith in him, that he'll save me? How do I know I can have eternal life when I die? How do I know I can spend eternity with him for all of eternity? He must reveal that to me. He must reveal that to me. Are y'all listening to me? He did that, and we celebrate it called Christmas. God revealed everything he is in the person of Jesus Christ. He'll never have to reveal anything else. He did it all when he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus, if you want to have fellowship, he is the basis of our fellowship. Number two, what is the blessing of fellowship? What is the blessing of fellowship? Because there is a blessing that comes with a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And it's summed up in this word, fellowship. There's two types of blessings. Number one, there's a horizontal blessing. A horizontal blessing. He says in verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may have a fellowship. You may have fellowship with us. John says, man, you can have fellowship with us. Horizontal blessing. Now, fellowship, it is a word that is used a lot by Christians and non-Christians alike, but it's often misused and misunderstood. For example, if I told you tonight, I want all of you to come back and we're going to have a fellowship. You know what some of you would say? Hot dog, we're having hot dogs. I mean, here's what we associate. We associate fellowship with food. Or we associate it with a place. The average church, the place that you eat is called what? Fellowship hall. Can I just tell you something on the authority of God's word? Every hallway in a church ought to be fellowship hall. Every hallway ought to be fellowship hall. The word there for fellowship is in the Greek. It means koinonia. It means to share in common. In other words, if you're saved this morning, who do we share in common? Come on, who? Jesus. So in other words, when I left First Baptist, I left them with this. I said, look, I'm leaving, but Jesus isn't. Pastor Hosey said, hey, I'm retiring. I may be leaving. Jesus isn't. So how is it that two pastors can leave a church and yet those churches continue on to press on toward the call and toward the mission? It's because you don't share me in common. You don't share Pastor Hosey in common. We share Jesus in common. There's a horizontal blessing that comes with fellowship. It comes with fellowship. So watch this. How does it work? I get saved, you get saved, we have Jesus. One of the wonderful things about being a Christian is that a Christian life, don't miss this, on everybody's attention. The Christian life never has to be a lonely life. The Christian life never has to be a lonely life. You see, you could be in a room right there. There's a lot of people in this room right now. And yet you could still be lonely. But when you're saved, you never have to have a lonely life. The picture of the New Testament backs that up. It is described as one that is literally lived in relationship to others. For example, it is described as a body that has many members, a vine that has many branches, a temple that has many stones, a family that has many children. Hey, watch this. God has no only children. God has no only children. He had an only begotten son, but I want you to know he doesn't play favorites. He doesn't play favorites. Did you know that you have been saved specifically to have fellowship with other Christians? One of the greatest tragedies in the church today, in the New Testament church today, is we have too many Lone Ranger Christians. They're all over the place. You don't know them. They don't know you. I'm telling you, dear friends, for the month of August, we averaged in worship 1,000 more than we did in Bible study. Let me tell you what I know can happen. Hear me. Let me tell you what I know can happen. You can come in this worship service, get cranked up by the choir, amen to preaching, and leave and never meet one person and get to know one person in a building this big and a crowd this size. So you hear preachers all the time. I've said this. Hey, if you could choose one hour, go to Bible study. Now, they're lying when they know I'm joking. Hey, I want you to do both. Get involved in a faith family. Get involved. I'm begging you. That's where you share life with one another in a smaller group. And it's sad because if you're not careful, the enemy wants to isolate you and make you feel like you have no one else. And then when he isolates you, I'm telling you, have you ever watched National Geographic? Come on, those lions will be chasing after those gazelles. Some what happens? They get that little puny one that's all by himself and they gang up on him. But son, you let them come. I've even read while some of them, they'll get in a circle with their hind legs out beside them. When they try to attack them, they're just kicking them. Hey, that's what happens in our faith family. We get together, and when the enemy comes, we kick him. Not really. Because some of you right now are thinking, I got a list of enemies. I'll bring them down. We need fellowship because without it, we fall prey to the temptation of the enemy. Number two, not only is it horizontal blessing, it's a vertical blessing. Notice what he says again in verse 3. He says, and this fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot know God, you cannot worship God, and you cannot fellowship with God without knowing personally Jesus Christ. Jesus is the basis and Jesus is the blessing. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Vertically, I'm to have fellowship with the Father. Horizontally, I'm to have fellowship with the faithful brethren called the family of God. And this all happens because of Jesus. It all happens because of Jesus. I cannot have fellowship with you unless we have the same Father. We cannot have the same Father unless we have the same Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. He's the connection. Lastly, the basis of fellowship, the blessing of fellowship, but the beauty of fellowship. And this is so good. Look at verse 4. I'm telling you, it just comes together. God's word is incredible. Verse 4, he says, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And the word full means to feel completely full. So John said, I don't want it to be a quarter full. I don't want it to be two-thirds full. I don't want it to be three-fourths full. I want it to be fully full. Full. Completely. The word there literally means gluttony. You ever been eating? Oh, I just can't. Oh, man, I can't eat anymore. That's what John is saying. He's saying you're so full of joy that you couldn't even stand anymore because you're full of joy. We live in a joyless time. Our generation has more entertainment, more amusements, more distractions, and yet, joy is at an all-time low. Why, dear friends? Can I tell you why? Are you listening? Because Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. We live in a world where they are not in the presence of Almighty God. That's the beauty of fellowship. So if you want joy, you need fellowship. And you need the right kind of fellowship. You need fellowship with the Savior and fellowship with the saints. And you cannot, listen to this preacher, you cannot have the fellowship that God really wants you to have unless, one, you know Jesus. That way you're connected to the Father. And two, if you're not involved in some type of a small group, type of faith family, Bible study or whatever, I'm telling you, you will not be what God intends for you to be. That fellowship comes from knowing one another and sharing life with one another. I wrote this down. It is more fun to laugh when others laugh with you, and it is easier to cry when others cry with you. Church family, would you testify this morning to the fact that many of you in here, how many of you by show of hands, how many of you in here have said this right here? I'd have never made it had it not been for my faith family. Raise your hand. Just look around. I'm telling that small group that came together. You see, there are things that happen that the staff doesn't know about, the elders don't know about. But your small group knows about it. Billy Graham said that our life, Christian life, is like that of embers burning in a fire. You take one of them out and set it by itself, it dies out. But if you get it around others, you know what happens? The fire burns hotter and brighter